Columbia Pictures, a subsidiary of Sony Corporation, came up with a new way to guarantee favorable reviews for its movies. It invented its own critic, David Manning, of the Ridgefield Press. The Connecticut newspaper is real. Manning does not exist. Industry observers are amused by the news. They wonder why the studio had to create a phony to say good things about its new release, The Animal, when finding real people to supply favorable comments is so easy. David Darcy reports on the arts for NPR. Good morning, David.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
How does this business of writing blurbs for movie ads usually work?
Well, most of the newspaper ads come out before a film is released, and with the studio spending $100 million on a picture, tens of million dollars to promote them, and they think they know what they're doing there, they've got to get the word out. They have to tell people liked the movie. So they fly journalists, hundreds of them, and critics a month before the film comes out to New York and L.A. for hundreds of group interviews. Now, Julia, what was it like to work with Brad? They wine them and dine them. You get all these positive quotes that sound the same. People are feature writers, TV critics. And all sorts of what people would call quote whores or blurbomatics that seem to have lifetime tenure. David Manning is the virtual critic who's been saying nice things about Columbia movies. It's the next logical step. It's a guy, you don't have to deal with a real person, you just have somebody in your publicity department make up the quotes.
So you didn't have to wine him or dine him or fly him anywhere.
Yeah, you begin to wonder what happened with some of the people they did wine and dine. Did they have too many drinks in first class? Did they go to the buffet table at the Four Seasons and offend everybody else in the restaurants? You know, there are some films that real critics have nothing good to say about, and the conventional wisdom that, you know, there are so many people to say good things about a movie that why would the studios have to make someone up? Maybe it's a question of cost. Maybe they want to avoid the airfare. Maybe they want to avoid the hotel bill. You know, it's a mystery because sooner or later somebody is going to wonder who these people really are.
Or was it a problem with this particular movie?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's happening more and more. But I think the real problem is that people do pay attention to these blurbs. I think, you know, fewer and fewer people probably read film reviews, so they scan the blurbs. They don't read the entire reviews. You're never going to read in a blurb that a film is bad. If it adds another 2 or 5% to the box office, you know, sooner or later, as the saying goes, it amounts to real money. It's the sense that somebody like you enjoyed the movie. Somebody has to believe this.
Yeah, well, David Manning didn't see a movie he didn't like.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what credibility is. I have to say I wasn't so surprised about this. I'm now wondering about some of the other names. But the studios have to get the word out. They have to have it be positive. The last thing they seem to want is consumer protection. With a lot of these high-budget movies, the last thing they want also is risk. So the real critics are a threat to them. And the first weekend has to work, the weekend before most of the real critics have filed, because it costs so much to keep a film in a theater if it's not making money. So they're counting on the David Mannings of this world, if the David Mannings of this world are real, or if the David Mannings of this world are the people they have to make up to make sure that the film ends up making money.
Of course, with this exposure, you know, the Hollywood studios surely have learned their lesson and will change the way they promote their movies.
I don't think it's going to change. A lot of these movies are intended to be critic-proof. In other words, they don't want scrutiny. They don't want the real critics to say anything about them. They want those buzzwords. They want the three words. For example, in The Scarlet Letter, when that came out, a critic said what The Scarlet Letter really needed was Demi Moore. He was being completely ironic. It ended up in the movie ad. Now, The Scarlet Letter didn't make a lot of money, but that's the way quotes are used, and they're not going to stop using them because they're not trying to reach the audience that takes films all that seriously. They're trying to reach the mass audience, and they'll do pretty much whatever they can to bring them in.
I wonder what David Manning thought of Morning Edition.
You know, David Manning, I can imagine what he looks like. David Manning, I think what they were imagining is a tall, blonde guy in Ridgefield, Connecticut, who puts his topsiders on and goes down to a movie. They see you're reading the name David Manning. Perhaps he went to Harvard. Maybe he's a smart guy. He's using his judgment, and he's seeing a movie that he liked, and you'll like it too, and you'll go into the theater. I think that's exactly the plan they have.
Reporter David Darcy.